Welcome back in. Hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Breaking down Julio Jones to the Titans. Taking your thoughts all show long on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. And to help us break it down even more, we go to our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and welcome in our good friend Corey Curtis from News 2. Corey, what's going on, brother? How we doing?
Nothing happening. Nothing to see here.
Just a nice, quiet day here in Nashville, yeah. Tennessee. Nothing going on. So, Corey, just your thoughts on the Julio Jones trade to the Titans. What did you think of the compensation? And in your mind, as you look at all the trades that have happened, not only with the Titans, but really here in Nashville sports in general, how big a deal is this one? Where does this one kind of rank in terms of Julio Jones and the star power that he brings along with him?
Well, the first thing is what strikes me is the disconnect between the local perception and the national perception. And this has happened several times now, you know, where we heard reports of it being a long shot. It was going to take a long time to work out. And I think the feeling here was among most everyone was, yeah, this trade's going to happen, and it's going to happen relatively soon. And that's exactly what happened, because you just looked at the roster and the way the Titans had been built this offseason, and it was evident there was a hole there and there had to be some sort of plan. And so you knew that they had their eye set on something. And so it was not a stunner when this thing got pulled off. Now, as for the compensation, I think it's about what we expected. We knew it wasn't going to be a one. And, you know, the Falcons wanted more than they got from Mohamed Sanu. I think that was what happened at the end of the day. They couldn't walk away with the same thing they got from Mohamed Sanu and feel good about it. So they do the 4-for-6, you know, swap in there, and both sides get their victory and walk away. And I've been trying to think about a trade of this magnitude, you know, that the Titans have had. You know, trading away the first pick of the draft was obviously huge, but it wasn't bringing in talent. You know, they brought in DeMarco Murray, and that was a big deal, but that was coming off of a really subpar season for him in Philadelphia. He was also, you know, towards the end of the line. And I think, you know, this one to me strikes more as, you know, megastar still playing at a relatively high level, but I'm still sitting here saying to myself, he's 32 years old. What are we going to see for how long? You know, because, I mean, does he look like he can still play? Yeah, and he's just 2 years removed from a massive season. But, you know, in the NFL, it can drop off in a hurry. But, you know, they've obviously got to feel good about it. And, you know, it sets up an intriguing offense. I mean, look, I've been here for 20 years, and I never thought I'd see a Titans offense with this kind of star power, firepower on it. I mean, you've got four Pro Bowlers at skill positions. I don't know if I could have ever said that before.
And like you said, Corey, we don't know what exactly Julio Jones is, except he did play last year. He's still a 15-yard-per-catch guy. You know, he would have had, what, a 1,400-yard season if he had played all the season. That to mm-hmm. me, is the biggest question, is just, are you going to get Julio Jones, you know, for most or all weeks of the season? But if you do, and he's close to what he's been, if he's, again, just what he was last year, where would you put this offense in the NFL, and where would you put this team? Like, does this move the needle significantly for you?
Well, I kind of like actually where Vegas has taken this, and that was like from 40-1 to 25-1. They moved him up, but they didn't get like that Brady jump where they would move up to like 4-1, because we still don't know what this defense has got. You know, and so I think the defense remains a big question. But look, do I expect this offense to score points? Yeah, I do. And, you know, I'm kind of intrigued because obviously it's still going to be a Derrick Henry offense. It would be crazy not to be. But do they back off a little bit? Do they become a little bit more of a passing attack? You know, number one, you know, because Julio Jones is used to getting 10 targets a game And, you know, here, if a receiver gets 10 targets in a game, it jumps off the page at you. You go, wow, he got 10 targets this thing. And you've got A.J. Brown who's going to get targets as well. So, you know, again, this is a season where Julio Jones could have an awesome year and go for 1,200 yards just because we don't know how many targets are going to be there. But I am interested to see if the Titans become, I guess, more modern, you would say, and throw the football a little bit more, you know, out of necessity and also out of placating ego.
Corey Curtis from News 2 on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Corey, to that point, what does just having Julio Jones on the outside and obviously A.J. on the other side, what do you think that does for Derrick Henry in the backfield? And if you're a defensive coordinator, like, how do you go about defending this Titans team right now where, obviously, I mean, we've seen teams try to do this and stack the box against Derrick Henry. Like, are you more hesitant to do that now with Julio Jones on the other side of A.J. Brown? How do you go about defending this offense if you're a defensive coordinator in this league?
Well, I think our friend Terrell Davenport put it out that in Atlanta, he only got a stacked box, eight guys or more, I think like 12.5% of the time, where the Titans saw more than double that. And it's interesting because the Titans now have three guys where if you were a defensive coordinator, you would say, all right, it starts with stopping this guy. Okay? Well, they've got three of those guys now. So you're going to have to take your pick. Listen, I always believe you have to stop the run game first, because if a team can run on you, it's a very long day. It's a very, very long day. So I still expect teams to try to load up and stop those guys, and stop Derrick Henry, and then make, you know, Tannehill and the other two, you know, beat them. But, you know, it's going to be very difficult to stop them all. You know, and this is where teams who have lockdown corners and feel like they can go one-on-one, you know, really, you know, it puts an onus on it. I mean, that you have to have those guys because you can't double all of them. You know, because we were talking about before this deal, if they didn't add anybody, double and triple teams on A.J. Brown all season long.
Yep.
And it was going to be a long year for him. And so, you know, if you're a fantasy football guru, to me, A.J. Brown just moved way up the list because you can't do that near as much. And it, you know, it could be a week-to-week thing, and a defensive, you know, philosophy. Also on personnel, you know, personnel that match up with you and what teams have to offer and where they can go. But it's going to be interesting to see how teams try to stop it. Also interesting to see how teams try to deploy it, because, you know, look, AJ's great with the ball in his hands. I mean, you could really do a lot of over-under stuff where, because Julio's, I guess, made it known he wants to go deep, and then you can run AJ underneath, you know, and that's like I've always said, it's like handing Derrick Henry the ball 15 yards downfield and turning him loose in the secondary when you throw that guy a pass. And so I think we'll see a lot of that in the Titans, you know, development of their pass patterns with these two guys trying to create space for each other.
Yeah, and Julio's not bad after the catch either. So, I mean, it's
yeah, it's funny. 6'3", 220.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny. Yesterday, hearing John Robinson talk about, you know, last couple weeks, you know, we've had the coaches looking at Julio. That must be fun if you're a coach. Like, hey, why don't you look at some film of Julio Jones? Let me know what you think of him as a receiver. You know, let me know your analysis. So, Corey, another thing here, of course, is you add Julio Jones. You also add Taylor Lewan back to the offense,
yeah.
You know, it's not, which is a pretty big addition to make it all on paper very lethal. But tight end is the one area where, you know, it's – we've been talking about it. It's still kind of incomplete slash uncertain. And now you would think, and based on, I don't know if you came away with the same thought, but we both thought based on the things John Robinson said yesterday, you know, it doesn't look like they're going to be able to do much there. How big of a concern is that? Or does when you're so good in other areas, how much does that compensate for it?
Well, you know, they certainly look very incomplete at that position. But again, that's why I say maybe there's a transitioning of the offense into a more, I guess, modern look, not quite as much two tight ends. And, you know, what did we see in practice? We saw Darrington Evans, you know, catching a lot of footballs. And I asked, I asked Todd Downing about this and didn't really get an answer, of course, because we rarely do. You know, can you use Darrington Evans and his athleticism, his speed, to create some of those mismatches that you used to use Jonnu Smith for when you moved him around the formation? You know, could we see Darrington Evans on the field, you know, as a fourth receiver instead of that tight end, you know, on the field with Derrick Henry still in the backfield? You know, could you do that as well? I look at the opportunity, you know, to get him on the field. They used a third-round pick on him for a reason, and I don't think they want to take Derrick Henry off the field very often to put him out there. And so I really wonder if that's a role for Darrington Evans to absorb some of those opportunities. You know, look, we all think Anthony Firkser could get open and he can catch the football. We don't know what kind of blocker, you know, he's going to be. We know Jeff Swain can block a little bit. But the numbers are down. You know, they've been a four tight end team for just about as long as I can remember because, you know, they run the football a ton and they've had good players at that position. Well, they've only got two, and then they got a bunch of guys. And so, you know, that says to me that we may not see as many tight ends on the field as we've become used to. And maybe that's a Todd Downing philosophy. You know, maybe that's his view on things. You know, we have to wait and see. But personnel-wise, that's what it tells me.
Corey Curtis from News 2 has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Joins us every Monday at 8 o'clock. Corey, great stuff as always. It's certainly going to be very exciting for Titans fans with Julio Jones now in the fold. By the way, Julio Jones has just touched down in Nashville as well. So Julio Jones officially in town. Corey, great stuff, man. Appreciate you taking time to join us.
By the way, shocked to see the Titans yesterday put out the release about the trade and then John Robinson available. It was a very un-Titan-like thing to do, and it was great. Great for all of us, especially on the Sunday night shows. And I thought it was great for them, you know, to really strike. Like you talked about, this is one of the big deals in Titans history, and they needed to make the most of it. They didn't need to hide behind league, well, we've got to pass it through this and this and this. They need to celebrate it, and they did, and I thought that was great.
Got those season ticket packages out there as well. Pretty good move by the Titans
those
as well.
They were strategically placed online, yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. Corey, appreciate you, man.
All right, later, guys.
Absolutely. Corey Curtis from News 2 joins us every Monday here on Robbie and Rex Road at 8 o'clock. When we come back, we'll continue the discussion on Julio Jones. What do we think of the terms of the deal? What does this do for this Titans offense? We'll get into that coming up next. Right now, though, got to tell you about my friends at FanDuel Sportsbook. The NBA playoffs are here, and you'll be in hoops heaven betting on all the action on FanDuel Sportsbook because there are so many exciting matchups, and FanDuel is taking that excitement to another level. New and existing users can bet risk-free throughout the playoffs. New users can get up to $1,000 back if your first bet doesn't win. Plus, once you have an account, you can bet one same-game parlay risk-free every single week. That means you can combine multiple bets for an even bigger win. The money line, the point spread, player points, rebounds, assists, everything is on the table. And if you don't win, you'll get up to $10 back. Basketball fans, now is the perfect time to give FanDuel a shot. Just sign up with promo code ROB to bet the NBA playoffs risk-free exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Risk-free bet for first online real money wager only. And refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Same game parlay refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. A max refund of $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same game parlay available for multiple sports in all states on the mobile and web. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. Discussing Julio Jones to the Tennessee Titans. The Titans trading a 2022 second rounder and a 2023 fourth rounder to the Falcons in exchange for Julio Jones and a sixth round pick. Joe Rex Road, Julio Jones has touched down in Nashville, Tennessee. The Titans tweeting that out moments ago. John Robinson there to meet him, getting off the team plane, and Julio looks like he's in good shape. He's ready to go. New member of the Tennessee Titans. Julio's first touchdown in the state of Tennessee.
Ooh, hey, a Porth-like dad joke.
Yeah, that was bad.
Hey, listen, by the way, guys, I want to apologize here. You know, this far into the show, I really have messed this up. you know, we've gone and Julio Jones, that's fine. That's big news. We've talked a little bit about, you know, college baseball. I have failed to let you all know, in case you didn't know, that I went 6-0 on weekend winners.
Thanks.
I feel like that should have been the focal point of the show, but I know we have a lot more week left to really dig in on that. So there you go.
Well, I did get the call your shot Friday correct, that Julio Jones would be traded to the Titans over the weekend. So I just want to point that out.
You did. Nice
and
job.
By the way, one strikeout away, I did the rocker lighter 21 strikeout combo, and I was one off. So not a bad weekend for a call your shot Friday.
They got 20. That was good. That was good. How'd you do in weekend winners? I haven't even looked at it.
3-3 with the lock.
Okay.
It's whatever.
Okay. It's fine. It's solid. That's winning. That is winning right there.
You can
do that week after week. Get your lock.
That's right.
That's good.
So condescending from Rex Road on the weekend winner.
No, what are we talking about?
Like, you know, I went 6-6, but you're 3-3. It's winning. Way to go, Robbie. Nice job.
I think that's my first. Is it my first 6-0?
Probably.
Yeah.
Hell of a time for it.
It was. I know. He's only got a 25-point lead, so it's a great time for it for Joe Rex Road.
I'm just sitting here, Vegas.
That's right.
Yeah, you got my Twitter account, man. If you need my number, DM me.
So, Joe, what do you think of the terms of the deal? A second rounder in 2022, a fourth rounder in 2023 in exchange for Julio, and a sixth rounder from the Falcons in 2023. Titans taking on the salary as well. We wondered how much that would be a part of negotiations between whatever team traded for Julio Jones and the Falcons. As you look at everything the Titans gave up and the player they're getting back in return, what do you think of the price to bring Julio Jones in here?
Well, I think it's right around where you thought it would be. You know, I think it was kind of apparent, you know, when the first round pick has been offered thing was floated. I mean, is that the Falcons who floated that in the end?
Probably so.
Right? I mean, because I think they jump all over that if that's the case. I think I thought maybe, you know, when Ian Rappaport and Diana Russini, and I don't know which was first, but they were basically both the first to report this yesterday. There was talk about compensation. I reacted, you know, reached out to a source, told, you know, nothing's final, it's not done. And I was like, I wonder if there will be a conditional first, you know, something that, you know, that'd be tied to his, you know, how much he plays, how much he produces. But to me, second round pick and taking all the money, it's about what I would have expected it to land. And certainly I'd love to know what some of the other offers were out there, but it had become obvious in the last few days that the Titans were emerging. And I just think, I mean, Julio Jones can help a lot of teams out there, but I think given this team's exact situation, again, if you look at it in terms of Super Bowl winners, Super Bowl teams usually are elite on offense lately. But certainly elite on one side and solid on the other can be your path. And this is a type of move that can push you to elite on offense. And obviously it was very good last year, but now you have those losses. And I just think all around your cost is probably biggest in terms of how you make this work with the cap. The second round pick, it's nothing to sneeze at. But again, if you had a second round pick right now, and you could take Julio Jones right now with a second round pick, would you do it? I would.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I think that's a no brainer.
I would think so too. And look, I mean, we talked about, you know, last week, what would our best offers be for Julio Jones if you're the Titans trying to trade for the Falcons? I threw out there, my best offer would be, I'll give you a second round pick and I'll take on the whole salary. I mean, that's essentially what the Titans have done here. I mean, that's essentially what it is because, and as you pointed out earlier in the show, Steve Lehman brings up a great point. I mean, you're getting a third-round compensatory pick for Corey Davis. So, I mean, you can basically look at, you know, you got a second-round pick and Julio Jones is coming in exchange for Corey Davis. And the fourth-rounder, you can say, all right, well, you're getting a third-rounder back for Corey Davis at that point anyway. It's just, I think this is a great deal for the Titans. Now, he's got to come in. He's got to stay healthy. You know, if he comes in and, you know, blows out his hamstring the third game of the year, people are going to be disappointed. But this, to me, I think John Robinson deserves a lot of credit. He's going for it. This offense, on paper right now, looks pretty lethal. And this is, you know, you're talking about two weapons now on the outside. This team just hasn't had. And then you factor in, you know, the superhuman in the backfield that you still have in Derrick Henry. This is a great move, I think. And the price to get this done, I looked at that price yesterday and thought to myself, okay, I mean, this is exactly right around where I thought it would be, and I think it's 100% worth it if you're the Titans.
I agree. You know, and you can look at it like to like basically like three unicorns on one offense. Now, that was kind of true before, just in terms of physical ability, talent, speed, power with Jonnu Smith at the tight end position, but not in terms of, you know, his production.
Yep.
You know, I mean, I think that's coming for him. I think he'll be very good for New England, but now you have that in the form of, yes, an older player, but also a player whose production can't be questioned. I mean, we're talking about the best yards per catch in NFL history.
Yeah.
With this guy. You're talking about, I think, clearly the best receiver in the 2010s, which maybe doesn't make you feel great in 2021, but last year, 15.1 per catch. His career average is 15.2, you know, 86 yards a game. That's the lowest since his first 2 years with Atlanta, but it's still really good. And the numbers thing will be interesting here, you know, with Julio, who's used to a certain amount of work. I mean, that's a good point brought up by Corey. You know, those kind of targets, I mean, you don't expect the Titans to be like you don't expect Tannehill to be like Matt Ryan and just know he's going to wing it around 40 times in a game. It is very different. But if Julio and John Robinson said, he said to him he wants to win, if that's what it's about and that's what he said to everyone out there, and you got a chance to be part of, you know, a special team, special offense without necessarily having the same numbers, I think it's going to work great. You know, I don't know what those numbers are going to come in, but they should be balanced. And there may not be anyone with eye-popping stats, but again, if you spread it around the way you should, if you're the Titans, how do teams stop you?
Yeah, it's a great question. And we'll get into that a little bit more on the other side. When we come back, what does the addition of Julio Jones do for this Titans offense? We'll get into that coming up next. Take your thoughts as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game.
They can only take a step forward here knowing that they're really adding a huge key piece. And I can tell you, Tennessee is so psyched about this. The players have been campaigning for this for weeks. So A.J. Brown has looked up to Julio Jones his whole life. He's been messaging him on Instagram. Basically, he's doing everything everyone does in 2021 to get attention and get players to see that they want them. So I'm sure the happiest person right now in Nashville, Tennessee is Ryan Tannehill.
That was Diana Russini from ESPN discussing the deal that brought Julio Jones to the Tennessee Titans. And we're discussing it as well, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. TD from Nashville on the text line saying, I saw the same excitement when Jadeveon Clowney came. It was a huge disappointment. I'm going to wait on this one before I shoot my cap guns, but 10 touches to wide receivers, this is all Derrick Henry's team. All others need to stay in their lane. So what do you think of there, number one, from TD, comparing the situation to Jadeveon Clowney? And number two, what do you think about his comment on, you know, if you're giving 10 targets to Julio Jones and taking away from Derrick Henry? What's your response to that, Joe Rexroad?
Well, my response to it is I'm going to be like Vrabel with the coach speak here. You know, you don't think about it in terms of, because I think there's a lot of truth to this. Like, if you think about it in terms of, you know, we should get X touches for this guy and X touches for that guy. You know, it's more, we're a running team or we're a passing team. Man, you're trying to be balanced and move the football and score and win. And I think that Corey Curtis is dead on when he said earlier that we're going to see a variety of approaches for the Titans. And what they're going to be able to do here is make defenses declare themselves a lot, and then they should be able to exploit whatever is being exposed. That's how you look at it. I mean, there's going to be games, I think, where you're probably going to see the box stacked, and probably especially with teams that feel good about two cornerbacks on the outside. There's going to be a lot of one-on-one matchups, and then you got to execute, and you're probably going to have more targets in those games. And then there's going to be games where, you know, it's like some teams are going to be like, look, we can't just let these guys kill us, and then you run it more. I mean, you do what it takes to move the ball and be balanced. That's it. You don't think about these other things. But the whole idea of, you know, this is a team that's been built around running the football, so why would you add this guy? Again, if you are coaching in this league and you aren't tailoring what you do to your talent, you will not be coaching in this league very long. So it's very simple. The Titans changed things, right, when Derrick Henry figured everything out in late in that 2018 season. So now I expect some different looks with this, and you don't worry about that stuff. You know, the numbers I think are going to be there, maybe not to the same extent Julio Jones is used to them being there, but if you're on a team that's scoring 30 plus and you're winning most weeks, I think you live with that.
Well, and let me say this too, to TD's point about Clowney, because I understand that thought process. Like, you're bringing in a big time guy and a guy that, you know, you look at his history, there are some injuries there. He's 32 years old. He'll be 33 by the time you're playing. I mean, I understand the concern there. And look, we talked about Clowney a lot last year, obviously leading up to him being signed here by the Titans. We both thought it was a good idea. It ended up not being a good idea. And it's one of those things where you look back on, and John Robinson talked about this a little bit yesterday too, trying to learn from mistakes of the past. But honestly, Joe, like, just purely from a production standpoint, like the production in Jadeveon Clowney's career and the production in Julio Jones's career, they're not close. Like, they're not even comparable to me. Julio Jones has been far more productive than Jadeveon Clowney ever was. Sure. And I realize they're two totally different positions, but just Julio Jones has been productive from the moment he set foot in this league.
Right. You know, it's an obvious comparison, and I get it. And again, John Robinson got that question yesterday. Basically, after that, you're still willing to do this. One, like you said, one difference is certainly production at your position. You're talking about Hall of Fame level of production for Julio. Clowney's still more of a, I mean, really his whole career, it's been more of a potential, right, and athleticism, and at times dominant play versus obviously the sack production and stuff like that. The thing with Clowney, there was a ton of excitement, no question. And I liked it, and I still today like the idea of taking that swing, getting in there with a whole bunch of other teams that wanted him and wanted to pay him a ton of money and winning and getting him. Didn't work out. I still like the idea. It turned out not to work out for you. The much worse situation is going after a guy who no one apparently wanted in Vic Beasley and giving him $9.5 million. But the one difference there is that was a need fill. That was, this team desperately needs pass rush. It hasn't had enough. If you can take this average defense and juice up the pass rush, what will it be? Well, didn't work out, obviously. This is more like, I mean, it's not like we were sitting here after the draft. We were a little surprised they didn't draft tight end and that they waited until the fourth round to draft receiver. But you're not sitting there like, oh, they have got to go like sign a star receiver or find a star receiver. I mean, I don't know. I want to call it a luxury pickup, but it's a little bit, right? I mean, it's making a strength a super strength. So that's one difference. But I think you're dead on in that. You know, Julio has done the job in the NFL at a much higher and more consistent level than Clowney did. I think the reaction will be similar. I think this is a much bigger deal in some cases, just because offensive skill. I mean, offense in this league, offensive skill players are still the stars of this league, right? And offense drives this league, and the Titans are a much more interesting and, I think, entertaining team now, more appealing with Julio Jones. And I don't know that that was the case with Clowney.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, Can y'all discuss all these casuals in the national NFL media acting like Ryan Tannehill is a scrub? Julio said he wanted to go to a team with a big arm quarterback, and these people keep acting like Tannehill can't throw the deep ball. They're proving they haven't watched him very much since he left South Beach. That was interesting yesterday on social media, like the reaction to everybody was talking about, okay, Julio Jones is joining A.J. Brown and Derrick Henry, and they're like, well, that's great. I mean, those three guys, that trio is awesome. It's too bad they don't have a quarterback. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, like, have you not watched Ryan Tannehill since he walked through the door? Now, look, Tannehill in the playoff game against Baltimore, it wasn't good. He's got to be better as they move forward here. But there was a lot of that on Twitter, especially yesterday, of just acting like Ryan Tannehill is some scrub back there playing quarterback for the Titans. And I just don't understand, if you've paid attention at all over the last couple of years, how you come to that conclusion.
So I got media, because look, like I tons of fan reaction to that, and there's been a lot of, you know, bad takes on Tannehill. I didn't see media. I'd love to know which media members are out there talking. I mean, because again, like, this is easily looked up information on the internet, you know, or easily seen information if you ever watch the Titans play football. But whatever media members are out there saying dumb stuff like that, I'd like to know, because I mean, that's like, it's inexcusable if you cover this league. Yeah, I'm not sitting here saying Ryan Tannehill's top five quarterback in the NFL or anything like that, but if people are coming away right now in June of 2021 saying, like, Tannehill is an issue or a weakness for this team, like, I don't know what to do to help them. Like, there's way too much information now that refutes that. It's kind of weird. I mean, we've talked about it before, but it comes up again here with this situation. And specifically the deep ball stuff, he's been one of the most accurate and effective deep ball passers the last couple of years, which, of course, was Jeremy Fowler reported the other day. That's what Julio's looking for. I mean, it's exactly what he's looking for, and yet people don't want to be informed.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Chad from Chattanooga texting in, as someone who splits my fanhood between the Titans and Falcons, I'm pretty excited about adding Julio. His most effective years in Atlanta was when they ran the ball and Matt Ryan could throw off play action. To me, that caters directly to Tannehill and Derrick Henry and what the Titans want to do offensively. So we've talked about, you know, how the Titans could be changing up their offense a little bit with Julio Jones coming in there. But I do think to Chad's point there, like, this could be exactly what Julio Jones was looking for too, in terms of an offensive system that could benefit him. Now, he's probably not going to get the same amount of targets that he's used to getting, but I still think he could have a pretty productive season in this offense based on the different strengths that they have surrounding him. And to Chad's point, I mean, some of the best years that Julio had in Atlanta were when they did have a running game, and you did have to worry about that as an opposing defense, which largely, and I know Todd Gurley had his moments last year, but largely that has not been the case in Atlanta the last few years.
Right. He's not going to have 136 catches for 1,871 yards, you know, 117 yards a game like he did in 2015 when they were one of the best offenses in the league and they ran the ball, they had balance. I mean, there's another receiver here, you know. Yeah. That was pre-Ridley, and it was heavy, heavy reliance. And a lot of that too, by the way, that was his worst yards per catch season, which is interesting, 13.8.
Yep.
You know, the Falcons did a whole bunch of just like the Titans went to more last year with A.J. Brown. Get him the ball quick, let him go, let him run with it. But certainly you see the benefit of that. The more balanced offenses he's had great years. I mean, it's basic like football logic. I mean, if you're just moving chess pieces, and if you can influence the defense with someone else out there and you aren't the focal point, play after play after play for the defense, and Julio Jones will not be, you should have good matchups and great opportunities. And I look at how teams defended the Titans last year and how much that benefited Corey Davis, who, to his credit, took advantage. But you give Julio Jones the kind of coverage and looks and matchups that Corey Davis had last year, you're dead.
Yeah.
You know, that's why it's, again, for one thing, I'm looking forward to like just practice more than I ever have with the Titans. You know, just watching that. I mean, hey, you think Titans cornerbacks might be ready for the season by the time they get through camp?
Who do we think Malcolm Butler's covering in week one? A.J. Brown or Julio Jones when Arizona comes rolling in here?
Probably A.J. Brown. I mean, he went against him in practice so much. But, yeah, good. I mean, enjoy. Either way, Malcolm, enjoy that. But, I mean, it's going to be – I'm just so looking forward to how various defensive coordinators approach this. I mean, you're going to hear a lot of interesting and probably funny quotes during the weeks from these DCs as they're looking at the Titans on film.
So what are fair expectations for Julio Jones as he comes in here with the Titans? What do you want to see out of him in year one here in Tennessee? Let us know on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll get into that coming up next. Right now, though, got to tell you about my friends at FanDuel Sportsbook. We've all had that dream. It's a tie game, bottom of the ninth, and bases are loaded. And on FanDuel Sportsbook, you get more than one shot to swing for the fences because FanDuel is letting you place your first bet risk-free. That's right. New users get up to $1,000 back in site credit if your first bet doesn't win. And it only gets better from there. Check out FanDuel's new promo live every Tuesday, $5 Dinger Tuesdays. Place a $25 or more wager on any player to hit a home run on Tuesday and get a $5 bonus in site credit for every home run hit in the game, a max of $25. There's a reason FanDuel Sportsbook is America's number one sportsbook. The app is simple to use. They've got great odds on all different betting markets, unique fun bet types like the same game parlay, and always on promotions to let you get more action out of every single game day. And when you win on FanDuel, they pay your winnings in as little as 24 hours. So just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today and sign up with promo code ROB to get in on the action. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code ROB. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager for a risk-free bet. Refund and bonus issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. A max bonus of $25 per game. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Join Stars for their annual golf tournament, the Hart Golf Classic, on Monday, June 14th at Vanderbilt Legends Club. This event pulls together some of our community's most influential leaders and business people, so consider sponsoring a hole and have your investment in the hope, health, and connection of our young people be showcased. Registration to play is still available. The tournament is a scramble format with an 8 a.m. shotgun start. Breakfast and lunch will be provided. It's the Hart Golf Classic for Stars Nashville on Monday, June 14th at Vanderbilt Legends Club. For more information, please visit starsnashville.org or call 615-983-6805. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're going to be joined at the start of the 9 o'clock hour by Nate Washington, former Titans wide receiver, to break down exactly what Julio Jones means for this offense as they move forward here. But Joe, as we look at Julio coming in here, the production we've seen in his time in Atlanta, what are fair expectations for Julio Jones coming into this new situation with the Titans, where you look at this team on paper, this offense on paper, it looks pretty good. As you mentioned, I mean, he's averaging 15.2 yards per catch in his career. So obviously he has been a huge big play guy even before he got hurt last year. I mean, 771 yards, 3 touchdowns in 9 games, averaging 15.1 a catch. He's still got that big play ability. 32 years old, what do you think expectations should be for Julio Jones as he comes in here with the Titans?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't think that it's like, okay, well, this is only worth it if Julio Jones catches, you know, 80 for 1,400 or whatever number you want to put on it. To me, it's just the expectation is that you hope he plays every week and he plays like Julio Jones and he's around that yards per catch and is a part of an offense that collectively is, again, over 30 points a game. And that leads to a team that is well into double figures in wins. I mean, that is what matters. I could definitely see Julio Jones coming in here, being everything the Titans hope he is, doing everything the Titans want him to do for this offense, and having his worst statistical season other than injury-affected seasons of his career. I think that's possible. Again, last year for that team, for that very bad Atlanta team that threw it all the time, with no running game, but with another great receiver on the other side and good tight end. 51 for 771, 15.1 per catch, 85.7 per game in the nine games. And he did play, by the way, you know, like he got hurt, I think it was against the Packers, right? Week four, yep. I believe that's right. And like he came back like week six, tried to play on it. So he had some limited games in terms of his health that he still played of those nine. So that's something worth keeping in mind too. I don't think that there's there's no statistical landmark. Healthy, playing at a similar level, and then having the impact that that should have on the offense and bottom line. If that's what you get, then whatever his final numbers are, fine. Like to me, the Titans do what they want to do, win the division, have an elite offense, and he has a so-so statistical year, so what? You know, I mean, show me A.J. Brown's numbers. Show me Derrick Henry's numbers. I think all of them could be sacrificing a little bit within this, but the collective is the point, and that should be special.
Right. Like, I don't think, you know, he's got to replicate 2018 where you're putting up, you know, 1,700 yards. Like, that's not what the expectation should be for him. Now, I will say, like, I expect Julio Jones to come in here and be a vertical threat. Like, I expect him to be somebody that even at 32 years old, you can stretch the field with. And I still think as good as the Titans offense has been and as good as A.J. Brown was last year, and I thought he took, you know, big strides in stretching the field, I still feel like that's an area where the passing game can improve a little bit. And I think Julio Jones obviously can bring a lot to the table in that area. But I'm with you. Like, I think, you know, if Julio is healthy and available, even if it's not in every game, but say, you know, 16 of the 17 games or 15 of the 17 games. Like, I think you'll take that right now if you're a Titans fan. And we got a texture that says, like, I don't care if Julio gets 300 yards this season as long as his presence is keeping teams from stacking the box. That's what I keep going back to in this. Like, obviously he's going to need more than 300 yards, but the overall point stands. Like, if Julio Jones, just the threat of having him on the other side, I think that's going to do wonders, not only for A.J. Brown, I think it's going to do wonders for Derrick Henry as well. And to me, if that's what happens and Julio can stay healthy and you've got this three-headed monster where it's just so difficult to corral this offense and try to game plan how you're going to stop him, to me it's worth it. And to me it's effective, and I think it takes this offense back to a level where they're top five offense in the league. And you have that. All you need your defense to do at that point, and we keep harping on it, is to just be okay. Like, just have your defense not be a walking disaster like it was all regular season last year, and you're going to give yourself a shot right there with anybody in the AFC. So I don't want to put a number on it. I don't know what the number would be that I would put on Julio Jones for what I want to see, but I do think that if he can stay healthy, a lot of those numbers will take care of themselves, because I still think he's got some game left in him.
Yeah, there's no number. And I agree with the point of the texture. And by the way, I love how you said, you know, he doesn't have to play in every game, just 16. I was like, and for a second, I was like, but that is every game. Oh, no, it's
not. No, it's not.
No, it's not.
Not anymore.
Yes. But, you know, Ron on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHonda.com, says, you know, if he can, he's talking about his blocking, if he can block. And which I love. I love that we're asking about Julio Jones' blocking. But in all seriousness, he's a really good blocker. I mean, he's a crusher out there, you know. And talk about – the funny thing about that is, I mean, he's a very competitive guy. Anybody's watched Julio Jones, I mean, he's a guy who likes to get into it with people on the field and entangle, whether it's running routes after the catch, beating them deep and blocking them. But now he gets the block for this guy. I mean, that's got to be exciting for him too. You know, his fellow Alabama legend who he works out with. I mean, I think that's another thing about all this. You know, A.J. Brown, great recruiter, also a guy who's idolized Julio Jones for years. And then you've got the Henry-Julio connection from Alabama. And I do think that that's another part of this that's cool. And if you're worried about, oh, a superstar coming in, is he going to be okay with his numbers going down or whatever? I mean, I do think the relationships and things like that should be also a part of this. You know, it's how do you win in any sport? You know, if you can get people to kind of collectively sacrifice at times to make the sum of the parts better. So if you can do that, and then the parts are this good, well, that's why there's excitement.
Listen to The Game every weekday for your chance to win $1,000. It's The Game's 1K payday presented by Kentucky Kingdom and Hurricane Bay. Listen for keywords at 9, noon, and at 3 o'clock. And when you hear it, go to thegamenashville.com and enter the keyword for a shot at $1,000. When we come back, we will be joined by Nate Washington, former Titans wide receiver. We'll break down Julio Jones to the Titans with him. What does it mean for this Titans offense? Where do they stand now in the pecking order in the AFC? All that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road live from the Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.